Yeah.
Log Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Hit the quad. Hit the quad. Hit
the... Mr. Robert Fortune. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Falcon Sports with the 12th man. I think everyone is finally officially on. Oh, ho, ho. We got everyone. We got the Oregon crew, we got the West Coast crew, we got the Atlanta crew, we got the Central crew. Hey, we are officially talking sports from the 12th man on this December 11th, man, counting down the days till Christmas, all that fun with the holidays. Hope you guys are having fantastic times. Let's do this, man. Let's get ready, man. Let's kick it in. Check it as we always like to do with my fellas, Mr. JQ. How you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. We're getting ready for the show and came across that T-Mac clip. I think he went completely in on J.R. Smith and Evan Fournier. When you get a chance to listen to it, it's hilarious. T-Mac took a whole lot of umbrage with people saying that KD would kill him one-on-one game to 11. It was fantastic. T-Mac was clowning. It's a good listen.
Nice. All right. I'm on you with that, man. Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling, T-Rob?
Hey, man, just fresh off a nap. So I'm ready to rock and roll. We'll make it do what it do.
You sound like you're fresh off your nap because I'm trying to, like, get this party hype, and you're like, what? Where are we at?
I'm getting there.
Okay. All right.
Takes a little minute.
Too as well. All right. Well, wake up, man. We're talking sports with the 12th man. Let's get this party started.
Wake up.
West Coast, we're going to check in with you guys in a quick second. Curtis and Gary, as always. Because, you know, we got to show some love with our United win, man. But anyway, let's have some fun here. And I guess we got a caller coming in, but we'll get that in a quick second, caller, as well, too. But let's call in. Let's talk the numbers really quick. If you want to go in and call the show. First number, as always, the calling the show, it's always the 404-243-9519. Follow us in that instance. If you want to check us out on Twitter, at number 12, THMA in Sports. I think I hear a little something in the background, so I'm not sure if that's me or something else. Just a little FYI there as well, guys. And then last but not least, if you want to follow us on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/12thmansports or Talking Sports with 12th Man, you will find us as well. So we're going to check in with our Oregon crew. What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good up here. It's weather's a little rainy, but, hey, you know, it's that time of year for us. I know
hey,
that Curtis. Okay, go ahead.
Just a quick thought, fellas. If you're not speaking, you should probably put your phone on mute because you're hearing a lot of background noise.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing too. But yeah.
Okay. I know that Curtis is wanting to talk about the give an update on. You know, his thoughts on the Timbers game. Curtis, what you got for us?
A couple of things on the Timbers game. And we can look this up. And we were ready to look that up. But that game outdrew the last two Super Bowls in attendance.
It did.
It outdrew the last two Super Bowls. And I also did a little research on why that soccer has went to what they do is the team that makes the final or whatever team makes the final gets to host the championship game.
With the best record.
No, not the best record. The one that scores the most goals.
Always scores the most goals. Okay. Yeah.
Scores the most goals. That's the key. So Atlanta scored more goals than Portland. They got to host the championship game. what, and you see the response, and you see the crowd they draw and the spectacle they were able to do. Who has taken notice of that is the Pac-12 conference. This year's the Pac-12, their championship game is held in a neutral spot. This year, the championship game for the Pac-12 in football was held in Santa Clara, California, with Washington and Arizona in the championship game. It only drew 20,000 people.
Wow.
So the Pac-12 was starting to, wait a second, if Washington would have hosted that game, they would have filled that up. Or if Arizona would have hosted that game, they would have filled that up.
It'd
so,
been
25,000. And I think I was trying to say, and maybe I missed this, I was trying to say, I did a little research, and the reason why the MLS went to having the whoever makes it to the final with the best goal percentage host is because when they were doing neutral sites in the MSL, they were only drawing 5,000, 4,000 people. And they figured out a long time ago, neutral sites wasn't working for them.
Okay. Head on real quick. We got a caller real quick. Hey, caller, welcome to Talking Sports 12th Man.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
Hello? How are you?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm good, man.
Is that Corey? Tell me what's your name real quick.
Yeah.
Nah, this Corey. Nah, this Naj, man.
Okay,
oh,
what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just checking in to see what you guys were going to get into as far as conversation, man. You guys are in Seattle, correct?
No, we're in Portland, Oregon. We're in Rip City, of course. We had a loss tonight. We had poor execution at the end of the game in Houston, and Houston pulled off a 111-103 victory over our Blazers. Damian did his thing. He had 34-2-2. CJ and Nurk both contributed. We'll say that Nurk has been, that was a good pickup for the Blazers, to get Nurk, from Denver. So we traded Plumlee for Nurk, and we got a first-round pick. So our first-round pick, we picked up Zach Collins with that. So that was a huge deal for us. And Nurk is playing really well. He's a double-double guy every night. Tonight he had 15 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. So he's making our team better. Western Conference is tough, though. I don't even know what right now where we're at. I mean, you've got two and a half game lead between the top teams and the 8th seed. So it's going to be a dogfight.
I think our caller is asking, are we in Seattle because of our show, our title, of course, Talking Sports to the 12th Man. No affiliation with the 12th Man and Seattle Seahawks. Just answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go back to
it. Yeah, but now we're kind of like all based in different places. We got different spots. We got our crew that's basically like we talked about in on the West Coast here. Obviously, I'm in Atlanta, me and JQ. Then we got Louisiana. We kind of like span the sports markets, if you will, too. So I hope that helps you out and answers your question there, Naj.
Yeah, for sure, man. So they had the little celebration here for the world, for the MLS stuff. Like this, man. It's a niche sport, niche market, so you have to be creative. So that's why they filled out the stadium by, setting it up the way the man just described. But just overall, man, you can't do this everywhere. Most states and most cities won't be able to support a full MLS team, and you're not going to be able to pack the stadium or anything like that. As far as Pac-12 or any college, I could care less if they fill their stadiums or not until they pay the players. The hell with them. It is what it is.
Oh! Whoa, Nod comes in dropping bombs. What's up, bro?
Wow.
that's
man.
Pretty
so
good. I mean, that's some good stuff. No, like I said, now
I agree.
That's a really strong point. Now, are you going to stick with us a little bit more, Naj, or you want to like drop? Or what's your call? Because again, we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight too. So we'll let the my West Coast guys do a quick little rebuttal of that too. But you guys stick on for a little while, or what's the plan here?
Yeah, let's do it. That's fine.
I'll do a quick rebuttal. Hey, I mean, we're talking sports. I love being on the Talking Sports show, Fifth Man. I love it. I love talking sports. But don't forget that sports is a business. And the example of the NFL, it seems to be a very good business. And when you talk about college football teams, the Notre Dames, the Alabamas are driving the bus on income into those universities. You cannot take out the business aspect of sports.
I mean, that's all well and good, right. But businesses pay their employees. When you go to work on Friday, you expect that check to be there. No different here.
Good call. Rob, what do you got to say? You've been kind of quiet. We'll let JQ get some talking here too, man. What do you got to say, Rob?
Well, I mean, I'm going to, you know, kind of change the subject here. Getting back to Gary with the Trailblazers here. The NBA Western Conference standings, to answer your question, Portland is in the 8th spot now, 15-12. But as he mentioned, that's just 3 games behind the team that's in number 1, which is Oklahoma City right now. So obviously still a lot of basketball to be played. I mean, I don't know if we even have the quarter point of the season yet. I mean, plays are 15-12. Like I said, they're in the 8th spot at the moment, 3 games back behind the team in number 1. They only have a team ahead of the team at number 9 right now, which is the Sacramento Kings, and they're 14-12 as well.
And that's why you guys just wait, because the fact that we're even talking about the Sacramento Kings being anywhere sniffing the top 8, you know that's not going to stand up
right. Some
Valentine's Day.
Right.
Like, you know that's not going to stand up. So, you know, you just got to be easy on that and let the things kind of play themselves out. But to your point about paying the players, I agree. And people like to use that whole tuition thing, and that's great. But you talk about what they're paying tuition for those guys in terms of the money they're making just off the media deals. You're talking about billions of dollars in these Fox and ESPN and these network deals. So, yeah, they're paying for them to go to school. But a lot of these times, these kids can't even really eat dinner. You know, the camp closes at 6 o'clock and come down at 7 o'clock. You know, they're actually trying to scrounge and put some money together for some pizza. And that's real stuff, even at your Alabama's or Ohio State and so forth. So I'm with you. There's got to be a tier structure to where, you know, your stars get a little bit more than the 86-second player on the football team. But they all get a little something out of that high. I mean, that's just being quite greedy by the NCAA at this point to me. I mean, early on when it was really true amateurism, I could get behind it. But there's so much money involved in it right now. This is a very antiquated system they got to fix.
You know, and it goes beyond just the scholarships that these kids get. You know, they're getting that education if they choose to stay. And if they're good enough, they get to go pro. But I would like to, you know, let's not have this kid eat top ramen at the end of the day. You know, let's have him have enough money to actually live and exist during his college experience. And let's make it bucks. You know, you've got these college football networks out there that are just rolling in even more money. So, I mean, they're approaching, you know, what these, you know, professional markets are making. So let's spread the wealth with these guys. I'm in favor of that too.
Yeah, video games, Mark and Doc, whenever they sell their jerseys, it's a whole another world. Hey, really quickly, we are going to get to the show here as well too. Yeah, you're right. So let's talk really quickly. We're going to try to like at least get some topics here for our 45-minute show here. We appreciate you calling in, Naj, as well. And just really quickly, guys, we are going to talk about the Timbers and the Atlanta United match because I got to tell you guys, you know, as an Atlanta fan, it was just great. I know, JQ, we talked about this kind of briefly before the show, just kind of as a long-suffering Falcon fan and Atlanta fan, it's we haven't had a lot of championships. So for us to get that, it felt great. The Timbers were a definite challenge, and it's great for us to kind of close the deal. We had the parade. Just an exciting time, and just to kind of like piggyback on that too, because again, it's good to it's a niche, and the fact that what Atlanta United did, just like you said, Naj, filling up the stadium and kind of doing things, it's been an amazing season too. So we're excited about that. Portland was a great challenge. We didn't take it lightly, and the 2-1, even though it was 2-0 as far as the game, it was just like it was good for us to kind of pull out and actually do some things, man. So again. Gary, did you get a chance to come out, by the way, to see the game, or was that did you get a chance to make it out, or no?
No, I didn't. But, to piggyback off what you said, what I saw and what I was so happy about, you think about these owners, and I have to think about, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons and this MLS team. And I also heard that he owns the Home Depot.
Oh, yeah.
If you're an owner, our beloved owner of the Blazers, finally got a championship with the Seattle Seahawks, and how happy that made him and how proud that made him. And I know Phil Knight's looking for a championship somewhere for the University of Oregon. But we saw Arthur Blank really,
yeah, class
and I don't know how much he's. I don't know how much he's doing for the community. I bet it's a lot, and that's a good business he runs with the Home Depots. They really did a great job with that whole thing, and I put that on him and his ownership. And I am so proud that he got something for the city of Atlanta to hold their hat on.
I was waiting for the
and one time for the players. One time for the players taking the trophy to Magic City and partying. I said, come on, y'all. You can't take the cup to the Magic City. For the people that don't know about Magic City, it's a strip club.
It's Atlanta staple, JQ.
Man, I was talking to him about taking it to the strip club.
One thing that I noticed with this, after the game was over, the Timbers coach was livid about the officiating of the game and was outspoken about it in his press conference. And my only point with that is, and Curtis and I were talking about it before the show, your managers in baseball or your coach in the NFL or your coach in basketball, they know they can't say anything like that. Otherwise, they're going to get fined. What's that rule because I've seen that in several different matches in soccer where they're ripping up the officials pretty much on a fairly regular basis in the soccer world. I thought that was kind of unusual.
They're going to have a talk with him because you hurt the integrity of your league when you start disputing and officiating to that degree. So they're going to come down on that guy because you can't let something like that sit. It's the reason Pete Rose is not, is a persona non grata in baseball. He committed the ultimate sin. You may stop us from getting money in the future by, messing with our reputation. So that's kind of what that is. And, Arthur Blank Foundation, they do a lot in Atlanta, always done that. And here's something people kind of miss. Think about it. Home Depot got big during what? The housing bubble, when people were, pulling money out, redoing their kitchen, their bathroom, and all of that. It was a genius idea, and him and Bernie Marcus made a boatload of money, and that's also why we got the aquarium in Atlanta. So shout out to them.
Go ahead, JQ. What do you got to say on that, bro?
Oh, I was going to say, what's up, bro? Pete Roseanne, man. You can do drugs, you can slap women, but you can't bet on baseball and get in. Harold freaking Baines just got into the Hall of Fame, for goodness sake. Come on. Come on, baseball.
Yeah, he was even surprised about that one, man. No, it's all good. Hey, let's keep it going, gentlemen. Hey, we got a lot of things to talk about.
Say Harold was surprised.
He was surprised. He's like, I'm in. Oh, don't tell nobody. Hey, we're We're going to talk about a couple things really quickly. So we got a lot of opinions here. So I'm going to try to keep this, gentlemen, keep this as brief as possible if you can. So I won't talk a lot. But we're going to talk about LeBron James. Is he always making the right decisions? We're going to kick it off with JQ. He's a Lakers fan. And we'll go back to the West Coast and let Rob wrap it up too. And Josh, jump in after that. Go ahead, JQ.
I mean, the dude's not perfect. And, you know, he doesn't walk on water. So, yeah, he doesn't always make the right decisions. And some of that game against Miami was raggy, but also was really emotional for him because we get on him a lot. But I really feel like him and D-Wade are for real boys. Like, they'll be boys until they die unless Gabrielle Union does something crazy. And I won't rule that out because he's a nut. But, you know, he seems like he has a really high IQ, basketball IQ, but sometimes he overpasses when he can just go ahead and finish. And I don't know if that's him getting tired or, you know, trying to feel like he's getting other teammates involved. But he's always got to walk a real delicate balance because he could go for 60 if he wanted to on a regular basis, if he really wanted to, but it would hurt the team. So, no, he doesn't always make the right decisions, but, you know, do any of us always make the right decisions at work or in our personal life? No. So I'm not going to kill him for that.
West Coast?
Well, what I like is, you know, the respect that those two guys have for each other. Because Dwayne Wade, you know, he was a flat-out incredible player, you know, as a young man. And LeBron James, you know, and won a championship. And won a championship before LeBron got there. When LeBron got there, you know, they had the big three. They, you know, united and really brought something to that city. And those two guys developed this friendship, and you could really tell it, you know, after the game, you know, just the comments, the level of respect that they have. You don't see that all the time. And I thought that was really special.
Yeah. Nice. I think that's love. I think it's beyond respect. I think it's love, honestly.
Well, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. And you know, LeBron, the reason why I'm a fan of LeBron, I think he's a really good man. When I think, you know, there's been some arguments about should athletes be role models, and a lot of athletes believe that they're not. I kind of dispute that.
Charles Barkley
in that famous comment he did. And the reason why I'm a fan of LeBron, you know, he's a great basketball player. But he's also a great businessman, and he also seems to do a lot of things right on the outside. I don't think he's a guy that's going out there committing crimes. I don't think he's beating up women. I don't think he's drinking and driving. I don't think he's one of those guys doing the immature stuff and the crazy stuff that we do know a lot of our NBA players are doing.
Rob?
Yeah, obviously, from a on the court perspective, you know, there's a lot of times where LeBron will make the right decision with the right pass, but it doesn't always work out in his favor. You know, when you look at it, it was the right play to make from a basketball perspective, but his teammate may not come through. And I agree with JQ sometimes. You know, sometimes he has to take the game into his own hands to finish the deal. And, you know, look at the game last night against the Heat. You know, he kind of carried them to victory, especially in that fourth quarter. I mean, he wound up missing one free throw, but, you know, they still were able to hold on and win the game by 3 points. But another thing to look at, LeBron, is from a decision-making standpoint. You know, obviously he made the decision to go to Miami. He made the decision to go back to Cleveland. He made the decision to go to Los Angeles. And when you look at, you know, from a decision-making standpoint, from that standpoint, the first time he left Cleveland, it was just time to leave for him from a, not only a business perspective, but also an opportunity for him to create a team that would allow him the opportunity to win a couple of championships. Which, you know, in Cleveland, they tried everything to get him some help, but they kept signing guys that were on the last leg of their career, like Shaquille O'Neal. He was on the last leg of his career. Yeah, he didn't have the opportunity to play with another superstar in Cleveland the first go-around. So, I mean, when you look at that perspective, you know, was that a good decision? Well, he wound up winning two championships. And then when he went back to Cleveland, you know, obviously Dwayne Wade was starting to fall apart. And then we all know the condition that Chris Bosh, had gotten into as well. So he partnered up with Kyrie Irving and got Kevin Love in Cleveland. Went to the finals 4 years, only able to win one of them, but he got another title. And there were a lot of questions on why he decided to join the Lakers, including me. You know, I was like, okay, well, this is not really the team you want to join in order to win the championship. And he may not win a championship with the Lakers. But when you look at some of the teams he decided not to go to, the Rockets, oh, they're struggling and looking bad doing it. And Philadelphia, maybe it could have been a good option for him. And maybe they're starting to get into a little bit of turmoil, you know, with the 76ers with the Jimmy Butler signing as well. And then, of course, the Knicks. I mean, they've been a train wreck for a long time. So we have to see, you know, if this was a good decision for him joining the Lakers. You know, right now they've won with 6 out of 7 games. They're 7 games above 500. It's a young team that plays hard. And maybe they were just missing the guy that can really kind of bring some leadership to the team on the court. So we'll have to see if this turns out to be a smart decision for him as well.
Naj, you want to add anything to that?
Well, yeah, nobody makes good decisions all the time, but he does the best he can, and he seems to have come out on the other side of that. And honestly, if you look at child superstar, child prodigy, and then what he became, I don't think anybody's disappointed. Go back to when we were growing up and we'd get Slam Magazine and they'd be telling us this guy was the next guy who's going to change this and change that and become this. And those people usually didn't. So for this kid to handle all the expectations, the instant stardom, hell, we know about child actors, to handle that kind of fame and wealth at his age, yeah, that's amazing. So salute the dude. But, no, you don't make perfect decisions every time. No, you made some mistakes, too.
Right.
I love it. And that's a great way to segue, too, because, again, we talked about everyone made some good points as far as, you know, not making good decisions. And one thing I wonder about LeBron is that I wonder if he wanted to get that, you know, college championship. He never had a chance, no matter how his accomplishments, he never had a chance to do that, too. Whenever you mentioned Wayne Wade, too, he played in college. So, you know, just a little side note. Hey, Rob, let's talk about obviously we're going to talk about D-Wade and we're going to mention with some greats. I do want to get really quickly to the fantasy shout-outs because we're going to talk about some NFL and Kirk Cousins and some other fun stuff too. So really quickly knock that out and we'll move forward with some NFL talk here.
Gotcha. You want to move forward to the fantasy shout-outs?
Yeah, just fantasy shout-outs here. Let's get this going.
All right. So obviously we certainly appreciate all of our listeners that do compete with us in fantasy sports. So real quick, I'll start off with fantasy basketball since we're on a basketball subject. And actually my team is the best win of the week. Dribble My Nizzle with an 8-0 victory over Blue Devil All-Stars. And Saints Pelicans 23. Rhino has a 51-12-1 record. As I stated earlier, I think from a communication standpoint, if you're not speaking, if you can put your phone on mute, because we're getting a lot of background noise. If you can unmute when you're ready to speak, but if you're not speaking, put your phone on mute, we could probably eliminate some of that background noise. But finishing up with the fantasy shout-outs, league number one, Aaron, Bristol Bombers from Hartford, Connecticut. He had the biggest win of the week, 154.40 to Monsters of the Midway, 106.84. Gurley's and Cumps, 10-3. That's Will in Madison, Wisconsin. This team is in first place. League number two, Mark Robinson in Atlanta, ATL Black Belt. He had the biggest win, 119.88 to Bears Nation, 52.90. Honk Smash, Chester, 11-2 is the best record. League number three, Sean in Atlanta, NOLA for Life, had the biggest win, 110.18 over Andres Rise Phelps, 58.40. Matthew Ungerstrew, 12-1, has the best record. And league number four, Andres' team had the biggest win, 219.98. The Birds flew south, 99.22. Andre's team is also in first place at 12-2. So those are your fantasy shots for the week.
Yep, yep. Hey, appreciate you guys competing and stuff like that too, man. So we're having fun with that. I think I had a 7-1 win too. I'm excited about the two. Hey, gentlemen, so we're going to talk about some NFL here, and I guess let's kind of kick this off here with Kirk Cousins here. And I guess the question out the gate is that Kirk Cousins lose the game for the Vikings against the Seahawks. And I'm going to let Rob start off, and then we're going to wrap it up. We're going to let the West Coast kind of wrap everything up, too. So what Rob, JQ, Naj, and then West Coast ended up, too. So go ahead, Rob, with that.
Well, in looking at Kirk Cousins' performance here this season, obviously, the Vikings last year went all the way to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum. And when you look at it from an offensive perspective, they got two studs of wide receivers. Adam Thielen coming
Von
into
Diggs
the game had 98 catches, and he didn't get a pass thrown his way into the third quarter in that game the other night. And so you have to wonder – from what's the offensive coordinator's name? De La Flippo?
He got fired.
Something like that. Yeah, he got fired.
Got fired.
And, so he got fired as soon as they arrived back in Minnesota on this morning. And
he didn't ride the bus, bro. Let them there in Seattle. Go ahead.
So, I mean, you have to wonder. Obviously, last year they had a different offensive coordinator. Shermer, the head coach of the Giants, was running offense last year. They were getting much better results with Case Keenum in the wide receiver. But the Vikings' offensive line has been horrible this year, and that has been a big part of it. They've had some injuries. They've had a lot of new guys on that offensive line. So that's been a big part of the reason why they've been having a lot of issues. And Cousins this year, he's been sacked quite a few times and lost fumbles. So part of that's on him. He's got to control the football. When you're getting sacked, you still got to hold on to the football instead of turning the ball over. So he's at least lost a lot of fumbles off sacks this year. That's really hurt that team from a turnover perspective. And obviously that offensive line has been really horrible. Seattle dominated. Seattle was not impressive offensively in that game at all either. But
no.
Seattle controlled the line of scrimmage in on both sides of the field in that game. And like I said, when you talk about Minnesota from an offensive perspective, a lot of that's on the O-line. But Cousins has been horrible this year from a turnover perspective. And Case Keenum, that was the one thing. He maybe wasn't super impressive last year, but he didn't turn over the football. And he, with that and their combination of the defense last year, they had the winning formula. And this year, things are just not – their defense has not been horrible this year, but offensively they're not controlling the line of scrimmage. They're not having much success running the football. Even last year after Dalvin Cook got hurt, they were still pretty effective running the football with Murray. And there's no balance this year to really help Kirk Cousins. I mean, he still has to take some ownership of this as well. But I think overall, it's the overall offensive philosophy. And then, of course, the offensive line has been horrible.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, we'll see what happens when they suit up again now that they fired the OC. But that's like Kirk Cousins is stealing money. What do you have, 3 years and $90 million guaranteed? When I pay you $30 million on average a year, you better come out there and do something. I understand everything might not be perfect, but you know why it ain't perfect? Because I'm paying you $30 million this year, bro. I can't pay everybody and pay you that kind of money. So some of those things, you've got to be able to improvise. Like you said, not turn the ball over. Why they are not using Kyle Rudolph over in the middle. Listen, when you've got Thielen and Diggs, Kyle Rudolph should be absolutely eaten over the middle of that field, because there's no way you can put another safety over the top of him. You got to deal with Thielen and Diggs on the outside, or you can basically get to a pick-your-poison kind of situation. That's what they should be living with, and still having Dalvin Cook and Murray in the backfield. I put a lot of that on Kirk Cousins. He's stealing money for them right now, and he looked awful in that game. That one play in particular where he got rattled and threw the ball backwards, I believe, to Cook. If you look at that replay of that play again, Adam Thielen was wide open 25 yards down the field. I mean, sitting butt naked on the scene. And I just don't understand how you don't see him. And when I'm paying you that kind of money, you got to see that guy. Butt naked on the scene by himself. But yeah, you got to be able to hit him right there. So I just don't. I put a lot of it on Cousins. Before we talked about it earlier, I was like, yeah, the offensive line. But watching that game, and a game you have to have, but with two teams that are balanced, probably for one of those wild card spots, he was so unimpressive. And you know, that can be about the locker room. When a guy's getting paid that kind of money and he performs like that, it can break it up. And now you got rid of the LC. So now what? If you don't do anything, at some point it's going to fall on you, Mr. Money Man. So come on, Brewster's Millions, you got to come out there and do something better than what you just did.
Do you guys think that it's taking him too long to go through his progressions, and that's why he's getting sacked? That's why he's getting beat up? You know, that's what it seems like to me. It seems like if that first guy isn't open, then he's struggling to find anybody else, even if they are buck naked in the middle of the field. and that's not a good place to be. And I'm not talking about the buck naked guy. I'm talking about Kirk Cousins laying on his back.
We know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I got it.
What you got, Nosh?
Nosh. The problem is they paid him like he was great, but he's just a good quarterback. So now they kind of got to recapitulate and treat him like just a good quarterback. And then that way they can get beyond some of this stuff. But, look, no quarterback plays a clean game where the offensive line grades out perfect and nobody's getting pressure. The bad teams say we have bad line play. The good teams figure out ways to scheme beyond their limited offensive line, as you see in Seattle. So I don't think that'll hunt. They got rid of the OC. Maybe they'll run the ball more. But this is who Kirk Cousins is. He's not a great quarterback, and that's why Washington didn't want to give him a long-term deal and kept trying to franchise him because they knew what he actually was. And now Minnesota's got to kind of, you know, draw back a little bit and figure out how they're going to work this. But, yeah, Kirk is not great, and this quarterback market is a bubble, and soon teams are going to figure out you can't overpay for marginal talent because it's the quarterback – doesn't make it make sense. Essentially, it's going to come back to bite you, and that's what they're seeing now.
You know what? Honestly, I think it's one step further. I think most teams are going to look at it and say, you know what, even if we have a marquee quarterback, we got to have a conversation with him where we kind of convert some of this to a bonus so it only gets us a cap hit for this year so you don't have that kind of crazy money on your books because you can't fill out a roster. We keep talking about how these teams are able to come in. Tom Brady always takes less money. You talk about Seattle winning with Russell Wilson on a rookie deal. You know, went last year and Foles not really making a whole lot of money. You got to be able to spread that money around. Look at the Falcons. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones killing the salary cap. Hard to put players around them everywhere else, especially on that defense, and then you get that result. So I agree with you. I just take it a step further. I think they're going to look up and say, we might have to collude as NFL owners to say, hey, we can't pay these dudes this kind of money. And expect to be competitive year in and year out because we just can't fill out the roster unless we hit on all our draft picks. And then eventually those guys have to get paid, and then you have to start the cycle over again.
I want to just say, you know, look at the whole NFL and look at all these quarterbacks in the NFL that are struggling and losing games. One of the things you're finding, and one of the things I'm finding, if you don't have ability to run, and you're not having the ability to do that play action pass where you keep the safeties and the corners, you know, guessing because they might have to come up and stop that run. All these quarterbacks have losing records when their teams are not doing that. When their teams are not, what is kind of like being two dimensional and then only being one dimensional throwing the ball all over the place. They can tee off on you now, and you don't got a chance.
Yeah. Good call. We'll talk about that, too, because just as I wrap this up, I definitely think that the game is definitely changing whenever you look at, you know, the Baker Mayfields kind of doing their thing now. And you know, Drew Bledsoe was kind of like the dying breed, having a quarterback sit there and, you know, just being a statue and just getting destroyed, man. So now the way that the NFL is trying to combat that, everyone's talked about that as far as protecting the quarterback because they're making all this money. But – as you mentioned, both you guys, Rob and JQ, that eventually you're giving them, and even everyone has made a comment, you don't have enough space for the roster to pay anyone else, you know. So now you got to sit there. I got to worry if I'm going to keep Deion Debo, you know, is Deion Jones going to be here? You know, no. Can I pay Grady Jarrett? Can I pay all these guys? It's just a bad trickle down effect, man. So hopefully We'll have that collusion meeting like you talked about, JQ, and we'll figure out a way to kind of adjust this, because it's got to change, man. So it's not going to happen. Hey, Rob, same thing. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to have Rob, JQ, Naj, and Rob at the West Coast here. Let's talk about the NFL top teams, Rob. Keep it pretty simple if you can. And we'll talk about some dangerous teams, if you will, between the Cowboys and the Seahawks. Let's go ahead, Rob.
I want to start in the number one spot. I have the Kansas City Chiefs at the moment. Alistair, 11-2. Two tough road losses, one to the New England Patriots, 43-40, and then another three-point loss to the Rams on the road, 54-51. So a couple of close games. And one of the reasons why I know the Rams and the Saints are also 11-2 along with the Chiefs, but one thing I can say about the Chiefs from an offensive perspective is the worst offensive output they've had this season is still at least 20-something points. And obviously, of the three teams, I think they have the weaker defense of the three teams at the moment. But you have to outscore this Chiefs team. And I have met as you saw, the Rams the other night, they had an offensive outing where they only scored 6 points. And you saw a couple of weeks ago, the Saints had an offensive outing where they only scored 10 against Dallas. So they've had both of those teams have had a couple of games from an offensive perspective where they've gone against opponents that were able to slow them down. We haven't seen anybody that can really slow the Chiefs down other than 20-something points is the only way you're going to slow them down with the Kansas City Chiefs. I have them in the number one spot at the moment. Number two, I have the Saints in the number two spot. Bounced back this past weekend against Tampa Bay. They got off to a slow start in the first half, but answered with 25 straight points in the second half to beat Tampa on the road in a divisional game. So I have them at 11-2 at the two spot. In the Rams, I have them at the three spot at the moment. Tough loss for them on the road, a tough environment against Chicago, 15-6, but I still have them in the top five, have them in the number three spot here at the moment. Jared Goff with four interceptions going against their Bears defense really cost them the other night. Number four, I have the Chargers. Quietly a very strong football team.
Wow.
They don't blow teams out, but they're 10-3, but they just get the job done. Obviously a big road test for them on this Thursday night at the Chiefs, and we'll talk about that in our prediction segment of the show. They have the second best record in the AFC, and it's unfortunate they're in the same division with the Chiefs at the 10-3 spot. And number five, I had to move the Bears in there. I mean, defensively, you look what the Bears have been able to do this year. You saw what they did against the Rams. And when you talk about this Bears team, I mean, they have Pro Bowlers on that defense on practically every level of that defense as well. When you talk about Khalil Mack, you talk about Eddie Jackson. So they have some great defensive players on that football team. And, obviously you don't want to have to go play in Chicago this time of year. And also, you got Akeem Hicks and you got Kyle Fuller. You know, a couple other guys are probably going to be in the Pro Bowl for the Chicago Bears this year. So I have them at the number five spot.
Yeah, I've got the same five. I think for me it became more clear when you watch Pittsburgh lose against Jay. I loved it, but you can't lose that game. If you're New England, you definitely can't lose that game. You lost the way you lost to Miami. That was just absolutely ridiculous. And then you saw Houston come back to earth a little bit. You knew that winning streak was going to stop at some point, but I just didn't expect it to start this week. So for me, I've got the same five just because those other three teams kind of made that decision a little easier for me with the results they had this weekend.
Nice.
I got the same teams you guys got. The only thing I would add would be we spend so much time chasing quarterbacks, we don't realize we're seeing a kind of evolution of running backs. These running backs who can run and receive equally are the most important chess pieces on the board now. So when you watch Saquon Barkley and you watch Melvin Gordon and you watch, Gurley, you see these guys are getting the production of a number two wide receiver in the passing game. And they're still giving you that threat of the run, and you play off the play action like the guy said just before me. And that play action, when Jared Goff has play action, he will tear you up. Last night, the other night, they had no threat of the run, and Goff looked, hapless back there. So I think we're really missing this running back renaissance right now because we're so concerned with quarterback and telling people you got to draft the quarterback. Don't get the run. Yeah, give me Saquon Barkley if he's in the draft. I'm taking him, and you see what people can do.
Wow.
With him.
Nice. Yeah, and McCaffrey and Elliott. You're right.
Yep, McCaffrey and Elliott. Well, yeah. Yep.
Where I'm at. Yeah, where I'm at is okay. I know how important. Because the team's out there for you as a football team to hold that home field advantage. And we've talked about this before in the AFC. And the only way I think you're going to get New England out of that Super Bowl is to take them away from that Gillette Field and that home field advantage. And so I need Kansas City. I need Kansas City to keep that number one position. But I'm scared of Kansas City because over the past 5 years under Andy Reid, they lose that first round game, even in Kansas City. It is, and he's got to get over that hump, and that team's got to get over that hump. Because over the last 5 years, they haven't been. And this, I don't know who's going to be able. I don't know what team is going to be able to go to Chicago in 15-degree weather and 20 and 30-foot goal and put points on that defense. So if you have to go to Chicago, you will be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You will be in a lot of trouble.
I think the thing about it, though, is I think the Rams and the Saints now have put enough distance, unless they just implode, to where I don't think they necessarily have that problem. You know what I mean? Like, I think that whoever comes out of that wild card, you just go ahead and put Chicago into the divisional round. Because I agree with you. That 30-mile-an-hour win and that 10-degree weather is going to be tough for a wild card team to come in there and beat that Bears team. But with the fact
if you
want to
blitz Drew Brees like that, good luck. So the that model works against some quarterbacks, but not all.
Yeah,
you're a good call. Good call. Yeah. Hey, we're keeping this going, man. Good call. So really quickly, we got about 12 minutes left in the show until the OT portion. I do want to talk about who is the more dangerous team right now, and this is an interesting shout out to the Cowboys and the Seahawks. And I know Rob said initially he wasn't initially impressed with the Seahawks. But I got to say the Cowboys are looking like this is crazy because we used to always talk about the Cowgirls, early in the season, and now we can call them the Cowboys. And then let's also talk about Amari Cooper's big day, man. I mean, that was just impressive to see him do this thing. And then and also a shout-out to Dak Prescott. So I'm going to flip the script, and I'm going to let West Coast go because I know that there's a Cowboys fan on that side. I'm going to wrap it up with let Rob, JQ, and then Nosh put it up too. So go ahead, West Coast. Kind of start off with that big, who's dangerous, if you will. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you know what? The Seahawks are one of those teams that, you know, they've got a quarterback that's won a championship, that's mobile, that can just make some things happen. If you're talking about, I think the Cowboys have a way better running attack, and I think the Cowboys have overall better defense. And if I had to pick right now, this week, I would definitely pick the Cowboys. Absolutely. I think the Cowboys' defense has impressed me this year. I think their linebackers are just phenomenal, and they're able to get to those quarterbacks. Even a mobile quarterback like Russell Wilson, I think they could get to him with pressure up the middle. And with those linebackers flying around. What do you got, Curtis?
You
sure it's not a biased answer?
Here's what I saw. And here's what I want to believe. The Cowboys have to know what kind of team they are. And I believe they are a team that when they lock in and they do, I want them to believe this. And I want them to do this. At every single quarter in a football game, take 10 to 12 minutes off that clock. They're a team that can do that. And if they can do that consistently against Drew Brees, against Jared Goff, against all these guys out there, they will be in the Super Bowl. The most impressive thing that I saw on Sunday is when that went into the overtime and the Cowboys won that toss, Zeke said, "Give me the football." And then they proceeded with the football and took, the next thing you know, they're at the goal line and there's only 1.5 minutes left in the game. Kick a field goal, leave them 30 seconds. Get in the end zone, leave them a minute. But what are you going to do? I don't care how good you are. Okay, we got a good enough defense against all you guys. If we only leave you a minute, you're in a lot of trouble.
And I will say this. They were talking about the Cowboys and about, our stud wide receiver we have now and how, we overpaid, the Cowboys overpaid for the first round pick. Well, guess what? It's paying off in a big way for us. So we're real happy with our team right now and how they're playing. But it is week to week. They got a tough game this week, going in and playing Indianapolis. So it's week to week, but the Cowboys could be that team this year that peaks at the right time. If they're that team, I don't know yet. It's leaning that way. We'll see how it goes. But if we're going against the Seahawks, we'll punch them right in the mouth, just like we did the Eagles and just like we did the Saints.
Look at the confidence, man.
Yeah.
What?
Right. If it's between Dallas and Seattle, then I would pick Dallas on that one. Dallas, all the reasons you mentioned, they're going to be a formidable team. They can run the ball. They can play defense. Their Achilles heel is going to be if somebody gets out in front of them, because they're not going to be good playing from behind. That kind of inverts everything that they do. So that could be a problem. But Seattle's playing with house money. They gutted the roster, essentially, on the defensive side, changed everything over, and I don't even think they planned on being where they are right now. So everything that happened this year is gravy. They got a boatload of money to spend in the offseason. Looking forward, Seattle looks really good as far as the future.
Nice.
He's absolutely right. The only way I think Seattle would be playing that Seattle team in Seattle. But if you're talking about playing in Dallas on a neutral field, I'm going to go with Dallas because you guys have touched on it. I believe that Dallas knows who they are. They're going to play defense. They're going to, they gave Zeke the ball. I think he had 40 touches in that game. I know he's our star player, but we got to get this win. I like the fact that they committed to it. They stayed true to who they are. And Amari Cooper, has just showed up in the same way. I told you when it got to him and Dak Prescott, I had to have a meeting. Like, hey, man, I love you, dog. I don't even know you, but I love you. I need you. You need me. Let's go out and make this thing happen. And you see that team, translate into the field. But, when I talk about them in terms of Seattle, what Russell Wilson can do, I think, can be negated to a point if you say, they match up. Because Jalen Smith and Vanderbilt can just flat out fly to the ball. And Jalen Smith can just roll. So that advantage that Russell Wilson would have against other teams where the linebackers aren't as athletic, he wouldn't have against, comparing them against the Dallas team. So for right now, the way the Dallas is playing, knowing who they are, they have an identity, they stay true to it. They just Garrett can mess it up like he likes to do. And those three guys on offense, those triplets they have, two guys in the middle, are doing their piece. Those five guys, for me, really setting the tone for the Cowboys. So I'm going to take the Cowboys in terms of who's the most dangerous right now.
Good enough.
Well,
I'm
going to be the one that's going to be different from the rest of you guys on this one. And I'm surprised.
Imagine that.
I'm surprised the Pacific Northwest is going to go against their team in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm surprised JQ is going to go against the better quarterback here. And we got a team that's going against their own geographic area. And JQ is going against traditionally what he normally does and go against the guy with the better team with the better quarterback here.
And, I mixed up, Rob.
I'm sorry?
I got to mix it up.
You mix it up, all right. So I'm going to just go slightly different. And don't get me wrong, I'm thoroughly impressed with the way Dallas is playing now. And, you know, I saw firsthand what they did to my beloved Saints, and especially those linebackers and the way they run to the football and were able to put pressure, you know, with rushing four as well. But there's just one thing that kind of still scares me with the Cowboys, and that's Dak Prescott with his turnovers. I thought from, you know, against the Saints a couple of weeks ago, it was 22 for 25. That was probably one of the better performances I ever seen Dak Prescott play. Even though they only scored 13 points, you know, I thought he was efficient with the football, but he still gets sacked a lot, and he still loses a lot of fumbles on sacks. And to me, that's a concern. Obviously, the Amari Cooper pickup has been huge for Dallas. And as Gary mentioned, I mean, they've really quieted a lot of critics with, you know, giving up a first-round pick. I mean, 10 catches, 217 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And he is a big part of the reason why Dallas has been able to turn this season around. And they are going to win the NFC East. But I think from a playoffs perspective, I think going against a guy that has been to two Super Bowls and he's won one and has the experience and able to come up with a big play, and you really, I mean, Seattle, actually, I actually like the way they're playing on line of scrimmage. Their offense and defensive lines are playing extremely well right now as well, and defensively is playing just as good as any team in the league. As well from a defensive side of the football. So I'm going to say Seattle will be a team, even though they're going to be a wild card and they probably won't have any home games and from that perspective. But they're still a team with a veteran quarterback, an experienced quarterback that has been there. The stage won't be too big for them. And to me, that's going against a scarier opponent, in my opinion.
Okay, so real quick. Real quick,
the problem with that
right,
is,
hold on.
The problem with that,
you're right.
The theory is,
but
hold on, let Jackie go.
The triplet, the triplet. What I would say is, you're right. I normally go with the better quarterback, but if I even the playing field out a little bit and I say, okay, I give you Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper, or I give you Russell Wilson, Chris Carson, and Doug Baldwin as a triplet unit on offense, which one would you take?
Yeah.
Well, right now, I mean, when you look at those from a talent's perspective in that area, obviously Dallas has it. But Seattle's offensive line is actually playing better than Dallas's offensive line right now. So you got to put that in perspective, too, along with the personnel on a perimeter. And obviously the quarterback is going to be graded at a little bit higher than any other position. And so that's the one that's touching the ball on every play, too. So you got to put – that one's got to be a little bit more weighted.
I don't think that you know, one thing that we're forgetting here with the Seahawks is, you know, they're a completely different team and have been for a while when they're playing on the road than when they are playing, you know, in that stadium up in Seattle with the 12th man or the, you know, they're a different team on the road. They're not nearly as effective on the road without their home field behind them. Now, it's like I told you before, Russell Wilson is good, and what I've seen with Dak Prescott is, you know, like he threw that interception, and in this game, I'm like, oh, great, here we go, you know. But for some reason, he's one of those guys that he knocks that off and just goes to the next play. What I like to see him not fumble when he gets hit. And he's been hit and sacked a lot this year. I think he might be right at the top or at the top in sacks. So with that said,
right,
I'd love to see him.
Yeah. Hold on real quick. We gotta wrap this up. We got 50 seconds, Rob. Set up the OT portion. And then Naj, you can hang up. You want to hang with us? That's cool. If not, go ahead, Rob.
Hey, thank you all for tuning in to another edition for Talking Sports with a 12 Man. We're ending our live portion. We'll be back on the air live on next Tuesday night. That's a week from today. That's going to be on December 18th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss us on next week. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so please tune in on tomorrow. Click on the same link. You can get the rest of our OT portion as we have more NFL. We have a little college basketball and some college bowl games. We're going to cover that on the OT portion. Good night, people.
I like how it automatically like just turned the volume up on that too. So that was crazy. Hey, Naj, I don't know if you want to hang out. I know it's like it's pretty late in Atlanta, so I don't know if you have work. Are you still staying on with us? You know, the OT probably got another 20 minutes or so. You staying on with us? Are you jumping off, or what's the plan here, man? We're just gonna keep this going here.
Yeah, I got a little battery left, so I'm gonna hang with y'all while the battery is rolling. It's all good.
Hey, but I really appreciate, like I said, you brought some really good valid points, man. So definitely continue to call in. You know, show us some love, man, because that was it's been good to have people talk football too, man. So we appreciate you as well. And the show's getting bigger and better too. So I know JQ didn't get a chance to do his Go Chargers, but again, we appreciate you guys talking about that too. And you know, obviously, when you hear that sounder, it's kind of right at the OT portion. So we got to wrap up those thoughts really quickly too, man. Because again, we got a lot of us to talk, so we're trying to keep those thoughts pretty compact and concise. And I want everyone to say their points for sure, because it's definitely.
Yeah,
getting,
Andre, stop playing
getting,
that music. It's like those award shows. Let me put up the sign. You got 5 seconds.
Yeah, we got to go, man. I thought you were gonna have some time to get in there, man. I would definitely want to drop to get his little spill in there too, man. Really quickly, guys, I do want to talk about two quick plays here. It was always great to see the Patriots go down. You know, no offense to Steven. I know a couple guys are huge Patriot fans. You got the Miami Miracle, you got the Music City Miracle, and just a great play. And talk about just that whole game. You know, Bill Belichick making bad calls, putting Gronkowski in there. Just amazing, too. So I don't know if you guys will talk about that, like I said, but we're going to talk. You know, if you want to talk about that, we'll do that, and we'll talk about these predictions real quickly. We'll keep it going with Rob, JQ, Naj, and the West Coast as always, too. So just try to be quick as possible. And we want to get to the college bowl games, and we'll wrap up the show, too, because we got a lot of topics here. So really good. Right off the gate, Rob, this is a great rematch. The Chargers – well, not – I'm thinking of the Rams here, but the Chargers are playing the Chiefs, and then – like I said, this is going to be a pretty good game too. Now the Chiefs have battled, you know, a great Baltimore team, and now they may be in a shootout here. So, what do you think about this particular matchup between the Chargers and the Chiefs, Rob?
I tell you what, this is appointment television on Thursday night. Definitely probably the game of the week. You know, unless of course, you know, obviously everybody's going to watch their favorite team more than anybody else. But outside of whoever your favorite team is, this is the game of the week in the National Football League. And on Thursday night, so this is a great appointment television for football fans. So I think this is going to be a heck of a game. I think it's probably going to be a better game than what we saw when they played the first time this year in San Diego. I'm still going to pick the Chiefs at home, you know, a nighttime game at home. You know how I feel about these Thursday night games, traveling on a short weekend. They have traveled a long way, too, almost halfway across the country. I think it's going to be tough, but I actually think Chargers are going to hang in this game, and it's going to be a close one. I'm going to say Chiefs 30, Chargers 27.
Yeah, I think it's really close as well. And the reason why is Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa and that ability to not stop but slow down a little bit, especially when you got Kareem pushing six down the elevator shaft and all the kind of wildness that he was on. That I feel like that kind of, you know.
No, you did
mitigate
not.
Some of that. I'm sorry. It kind of mitigates some of that offense that Kansas City.
He's just calling to win for you.
I'm just saying. I like Mr. Ware. He's from Cincinnati, but you know he's not Kareem Hunt. And it's going to be. I think it's going to come down to Rivers and Mahomes. I think Mahomes does just enough because I have the same concerns with San Diego, with L.A. Because are we going to get Melvin Gordon? If you get Melvin Gordon, where is he at? And Eckler got hurt, so now you got the rookie. And I know running backs. You know you can replace them more easily, but is the stage going to be too big for Justin Jackson if he has to be the guy to carry the ball 20-25 times? Take some of that pressure off of Phillip Rivers. I'm going to go with Kansas City at home. Arrowhead's crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I think a Kansas City blowout. And this idea that we can replace running backs so easily, you can put another guy in, but it ain't the damn same. Ask the Steelers when they told us John Connor was better than Le'Veon Bell. And as the weeks went by, we found out small sample size, it's easy to excel. Full season, year after year, whole different ball game. So if Melvin Gordon was healthy, yeah, I'm thinking different. But with Eckler banged up and having to go to the rookie, you're asking Phillip Rivers to do a lot. And also that bad man Eric Berry may be coming back soon. So you're talking about a Pro Bowl caliber talent coming to that KC defense. So I think we're going to see
it.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Man, you just totally disrespected James Conner. You called a dude giant.
No, I'm just saying he ain't Le'Veon. That's all I'm saying. It is what it is.
Boy,
Steelers fans,
you know what we got?
Real loud.
Not,
a couple of you know,
he's not even James.
Yeah, what we got? What we got? What we got? And you guys failed to mention we have a divisional. We have a divisional game. We have a game for the division. And.
Yep.
It being in Kansas City and that crowd realizing that they got a team that they don't, if they can get beyond their history, they got a team that should be in the Super Bowl. So that crowd's going to be jacked up. That weather is not going to be LA-like. But Phillip Rivers is going to the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind he is a Hall of Fame quarterback. And there is some mention that he is playing the best ball he ever has now. And his leadership abilities are immense. But this is a really big game. And the crowd in Kansas City, the weather in Kansas City is getting 30 points. They may even get 35. They're going to be hard-pressed to outpoint Kansas City. LA is going to be hard pressed to outshoot and outdo a shootout of Kansas City. And I don't think
so
they're
everyone
going to
is picking.
It.
Yeah, everyone's picking the Chiefs, which is I don't think that's like it's
oh,
kind, of,
all
kind of scary. It's kind of scary, but like I said, I'm on the Chiefs bandwagon. I'm a huge Patrick Mahomes fan, man. I just think that dude, that pass that he looked one way and threw across, fourth down against McMahon. That, like I said, you hope that he doesn't again start reading his press clippings. But just I'm a fan, 100%. And they're comparing him to not Brett Favre, but Aaron Rodgers, man. So again, man, this is a great game, man. Next game, Rob. Let's talk about Dallas at the Colts, Rob. Same order. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously, I know we got a couple of Cowboys fans on the show, but I'm going with the Colts at home in this game. And obviously, the Colts, if I'm not mistaken, they've won 6 out of 7. They had a tough road loss against Jacksonville here a couple of weeks ago. They bounced back and ended the Texans' win streak in 9 straight games. Offensively, the Colts have quietly been one of the best teams in the league here over the last 7-8 weeks. And even a couple of their losses this year, you know, we talked about the bonehead loss that he had to the Texans early this year, where they should have at least ended that game in a tie. We don't know if that's going to come back to bite them in the ass when it comes to the playoffs here. I mean, right now they sit at, they're sitting at 7-6 at the moment. But I like them at home in this game. I think it's going to be a close football game. I think Indianapolis wins 23-17. Like I said, when you look at the way they've been playing the last 7 weeks,
Rob,
I think Dallas slows them down a little bit, but the Colts will hold on and win this game 23-17 to kind of help them in the playoff positioning in the AFC, which they have about 5 teams that are like 7-6 in the AFC battling for these wild card spots.
I tell you like this. If Dallas can go into New Orleans and win in the Superdome, I have no worries about them going into Indianapolis and beating the Colts.
They didn't go
I'll
to
go
New Orleans.
Dallas.
That game was in Dallas.
Oh, that game was in Dallas. You're right. That game was in Dallas. Still, they were able to hold Drew Brees in that offense for 10 points. That, to me, is one of the most impressive feats of the season by any team, defense or offense. And even talking about those crazy points that Kansas City and them have scored this year, I think that's still ridiculous. I'm going to go with Dallas, so I see otherwise. I think that defense can do enough because I don't think Indianapolis is going to have the ability to run the ball and give Andrew Luck that ability to play action pass and hit Ebron and T.Y. Hilton like he's been doing. Don't get me wrong, Indianapolis has been playing really good football, and I don't think anybody expected that. We were just thinking that Andrew Luck wouldn't even be able to play this year with that shoulder. And not only has he played,
crazy.
He played fantastically. But that Dallas defense is playing for real. And I'm going to go with Dallas. As long as Zeke is all right from that stinker that he took and they can, you know, ride him for another 25 to 30 touches. And I, who on Indianapolis can stop Amari Cooper from the cornerback position? I just have a hard time picking against Dallas right now.
Crazy. Nosh?
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, I think Indianapolis and Houston are really not good teams who kind of benefited from eating off bad teams. The problem is Indy is really creative. They create ways for the tight ends to get open, and Andrew Luck is doing the best that he can with what he has. But overall, man, you double T.Y. and you force him to throw it to Ebron and, you know, maybe a back out the backfield. There's only so much they're going to be able to score against a top-flight D-line. So I think Dallas wins this in a close one, but I don't think people are really respecting how much Andrew Luck is doing with little around him. Not, you know, not meaning T.Y., because T.Y., of course, is good. But, dude, right. he is doing a lot, man, and I don't think people are seeing that.
That's what Minnesota wants Kirk Cousins to do. I totally agree with you. That's what they want him to
Kirk
do.
Kirk ain't no damn money. Yeah, he ain't no Luck. Yeah.
Well, I think he's got to give
Yeah.
Another thing that Indianapolis has struggled with for most of Andrew Luck's career is offensive line. So when you look at their offensive line play, it looks as though they finally got together for Andrew Luck. And they're protecting the quarterback. They're able to mix it up with the running football as well, the kid Mac. And so they have balance there on offense, and they're able to do that because of the protection and the running game as well. And that's what's been the difference from an offensive standpoint for this Andrew Luck's team versus the Andrew Luck's teams prior to his injury.
Yeah.
Go to the West Coast.
Dallas has a formula. And like I said, the formula, and this is the reason why this formula works, dominate the clock, and I don't care who the quarterback is. If you are not left with a lot of time to affect your offense, well, you're not going to be successful. Dominate the clock, and the defense, if I'm a defensive coordinator and I'm looking for a defensive identity for Dallas, I'm telling my defense in every game, we need to dominate 7 out of 11 three and outs. We got to do the three and outs and give our offense the ball and sit on the bench and rest and get ready to do another three and out 10 minutes from now, 11 minutes from now. That formula is going to beat everybody. That formula is going to beat Tom Brady. That formula is going to beat Aaron Rodgers. That formula is going to beat Russell Wilson. Don't leave them guys a chance to kill you. Don't take that clock.
Everyone's after
you. Yeah. They're not running the football. They're not running the football. They're not.
Well, yeah, I'll say this, just to kind of wrap this up, just essentially because right now the Cowboys are playing with that, with the C word, the confidence, you know, right now. So it's just, you know, they're playing above, beyond. I know Robert wishes that they'll get beat. But as JQ said, you know, and the formula is there, man. You know, like I said, you play really strong defense. Good defense beats good offense normally. Normally, I have to defer whenever I talk about the Chiefs, but the Cowboys are playing with good confidence. You know, right now they're peaking. They got that run game going. The offensive line is doing just enough, and Dak is getting pretty confident as well too, man. So it's going to be a good game. I think we like what Dallas is doing as well. Hey, let's wrap this up. I know these are JQ's two favorite teams here, but we're going to keep this pretty briefly. I'll let JQ start, Rob, and then Naj, and then West Coast again. New England at the Steelers. Go ahead, JQ.
Well, you know I want to pick a 0-0 tie, but I know that's not going to happen. So if I have to go to it, this is really tough because you can go either way. But
this one is really tough.
But Heinz Field is going to be rocking. Heinz Field is going to be rocking. They both coming off of losses. I just don't think right now. I think this bad draft that New England has had, where they kind of picked, you know, these obscure cornerbacks and safeties, and it hasn't worked out. And that defense is kind of like a no-name defense, but it's not achieving in those no-name defenses kind of ways that we talked about before. I feel like Pittsburgh finds a way to win that game in Pittsburgh. A very close game. I mean, 1 to 3 points difference. And I think it's going to be a shootout, kind of like 35-33 Pittsburgh. But I could be convinced that New England can win that game. Now, Pittsburgh defense is not playing great in the past couple of games. But I think they have heard all the talk, you know, about them and what's going on in the dysfunction. And I think they've rebounded and beaten New England.
Yeah, I think of the three games, for me, this is the toughest one to predict as well. And the reason why I say that is New England, it's just hard to predict them to have two straight losses. And you know, I'm with JQ on this one. You know, I believe Pittsburgh will find a way to win this game at home. But then I keep thinking, man, do you really pick the Patriots to lose two games in a row? And then,
right,
you know, the way they lost, you know, Bill Belichick has got to be as pissed off as anybody in the world right now, the way they lost their game on Sunday. But do you really pick against the Patriots and lose two games in a row? And that's what the thing I've been wrestling with the most when it comes to this football game. But when you look at it here, the Steelers, I mean, they're 7-5-1. It's just a half a game ahead of the Ravens, who are 7-6 for this division right now. And so, I mean, they're right in the middle of a dogfight. So this is really a must-win game for the Steelers. And as I just talked about a little while ago, if you don't win this division, you may not get in as a wild card. I mean, they got about 80 teams in the AFC at 7-6 right now.
That tie's going to help them, though. That tie's going to help them.
Oh, gosh. That's
so, I mean, all of the 7-6 teams can't go to the playoffs. So, I mean, you can't win the division. I mean, you're in trouble in the AFC right now. I mean, you're going to need some help to get in as a wild card. So this is really, really a must-win game for the Steelers. I think even with a loss, the Patriots still win the AFC East here with a loss in this game. So the Steelers have to be really, really motivated to bounce back after two straight losses. So I'm going to predict the Steelers to find a way to win this one. I'm going to go with a high-scoring game in this one. I'm going to go 34-31 Steelers.
Yeah, same thing for New England. Pittsburgh winning three, losing three in a row. Like, it's hard. Like, somebody's going to have something you're not used to them doing. Whoever you pick to lose is going to be like, man, they're going to lose three in a row. They're going to lose two in a row. Like, it's weird. It's a hard game to pick.
Yeah, go ahead, Nash. I want to roll with you. I want to pick the Steelers. They should win. They are the more complete team. They actually are better statistically to me. But for some reason, Pittsburgh has this idea that they're always going to zone blitz Tom Brady. And he always gets them. Like, every season we see this. In the playoffs, or whatever, they come with that zone blitz. He finds Edelman or whoever over the middle and big plays, and New England puts them out. So I expect Pittsburgh to act like Pittsburgh and blitz too much and Brady to find somebody and win. So even though I hate New England, yeah, I picture them.
I hate I hate New England as well. And I so want Pittsburgh. Yeah, I so want Pittsburgh to win this game. But, you know, Pittsburgh, their season has been almost close to horrible. And they need to right this ship. They really do need to right this ship. So I think for Pittsburgh, what this game means to shut all the critics up. This game means to Pittsburgh, we're on our way to righting this ship. And if they lose this game could be them not making the playoffs. They're between a rock and a hard place on this game. I don't like the Patriots, so there's no way I'm going to pick them.
No.
But they have to. Yeah, they have to. Tomlin has to win this game.
All right. Like I said, no matter what's happened this season, gentlemen, from freaking Connor, as Naj didn't get his name right, to freaking – you know, your boy Le'Veon Bell, it's been a challenging season. But, yeah, they have overcome. And they're still, like you said, as Rob said, they're a bunch of, like, they still got a shot, man. So we'll see. I'm not sure, though, they're going to be able to, like, knock off, you know, we'll see. I mean, Patriots, they may be kind of pissed off, man. They made a lot of mistakes, man. So, again, I may agree with Naj, man. They may – Pittsburgh may slow and blitz, and Tom Brady's going to eat them alive, man, as much as we hate to admit that. All right, gentlemen, we've got 10 minutes here. Let's go through these last bowl predictions here. And I'm going to try to be – I'm going to try to let you guys kind of really – I'm going to fly through these because there's some bowl games that are like, what? So let's be as brief as possible, and we'll wrap up the show here. So first we'll start off, and like I said, I'll probably do the same thing, Rob, JQ, Naj, West Coast, if you will. So just be brief unless you have anything extra. I don't know a lot about these teams, so let's just kind of wrap this up here. Celebration Bowl, we got North Carolina, AT&T versus Alcorn State. Rob?
I'm going to go with Alcorn State in this game. I mean, they've been one of the major players in the SWAC conference here the last few years. Games in Atlanta, Celebration Bowl. I'm going to go with Alcorn State in honor of Steve McNair.
A&T has a really good offense, and you know I went to a MEAC school. I'm a Rattler, so I'm going with the MEAC. I'm going with A&T.
Nice.
I got to go with the conference. Alcorn State in the. I'm not even sure what conference you call that. But it's a lesser conference than the ACC. So the ACC, ACC got to win that bowl.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I got to go charge my phone and bow out here, but I haven't watched a snap of college football, so I can't say anything on this. I don't know a damn thing. But just have a good night, man. It was good talking with y'all,
hey,
man.
Nah, call in with us. Please call in again.
Thanks,
bro. We appreciate you, man. You're awesome, bro. Yeah, thank you, bro.
Yeah, man.
Awesomeness.
Thanks for letting me know.
Call in for sure, man. Hey, all the time, bro. Definitely good conversation. Let's move on here. Let's talk to the Cure Bowl. We got Tulane at Louisiana Lafayette.
Hey,
Rob, I'm going wherever you go.
Two Louisiana schools going at it, and they got to go. They're playing in Orlando, I believe, this bowl is game. You know, can't keep up with a lot of these bowl names, but they're playing in Orlando. I'm gonna go with Tulane. Tulane kind of finished the season on a strong winning streak. And, the Green Wave. I think they continue to finish the season strong, and they'll beat the Raging Cajuns.
Go Green Wave. I'm with you. I was going to say Tulane. I'm glad. I'm right. I'm going with you. Yeah. You know more about it than I do.
Yeah, Tulane, Justin Miller, the transfer from LSU, is playing quarterback, and he's been playing really well, you know, running that spread offense for Tulane.
I'm going with Tulane as well.
New Mexico Bowl, North Texas versus Utah State.
I like Utah State in this one. They lost early in the season, and they reeled off 10 wins. They had a really strong season, and I'm going to go with Utah State to finish strong this year in Albuquerque.
I agree.
Yeah, it's going to be a good bowl. It's going to be a good game to, you know, maybe watch, but yeah, Utah State, they're gonna get it,
man. Robbie making up this stuff, man. Rob doesn't know none of these stuff. Hey, let's keep going with the Las Vegas Bowl, Fresno State versus Arizona State. Herm Edwards, no. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, I like Fresno State in this one. Hey, they went on the road and beat Boise State for the Mountain West Conference Championship in a tough environment on the blue football field. And, you know, Arizona State's not going to have the best player in this game. N'Keal Harry is not going to be playing. He's skipping to prepare for the NFL draft. So that's going to hurt Herm Edwards against this Fresno State team. I like Fresno State.
Herm Edwards is going to hurt Herm Edwards, okay? I'll trust Herm Edwards in no semi-big game or big game. I'm with you on this on here. I'm going to Fresno State. They the past couple years have been playing some good ball out there.
Yeah.
In the WAC, I believe it is. And then, you know, going to Boise State, knocking them off, that's a big win. I just don't trust Herm to get them boys ready. I'm sorry. I want him to, but can't do it. Fresno State.
Yeah. And
It's a good college football game. It's a good college football game, but the problem I have is the Pac-12 conference do not and it's the black eye for the black Pac-12 conference to lose games to teams that they don't feel like should be able to compete with the Pac-12 conference. But Fresno State is probably going to win that game, and that's going to put a little mark on the Pac-12 conference.
Yeah,
I'm glad you went
that direction.
I know where you're going with that. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
Another thing I'd just like to add about this particular game is you know, I watched a good bit of that Fresno State Boise State game, and historically, Fresno State is a strong offensive team, but lacking on the defensive end, and that's not the case with this Fresno State team. They play really good defense as well.
Appreciate that, Rob. Hey, we got the Camellia Bowl, Georgia Southern versus Eastern Michigan. Wow.
The Camellia Bowl. Wow.
Oh, man, is that Camellia beans or what?
I don't know. Let
me see. I'm from New Orleans. Can you play the red beans?
I don't even know, honestly.
All right. Who are the two teams again?
You've got Georgia Southern versus Eastern Michigan.
That is a pick'em.
Hey, I'm going Eastern Michigan. I'm going with the Mac.
Whatever. Okay. Wow.
Hey, man, listen. The same way you see Army be able to go in and play Oklahoma to overtime, that triple option, if you know, I know they got a couple weeks to prepare for it, but when you're not used to getting chop blocked and cut like that, and that Georgia Southern just has been running that triple option to death at that level, and I know, don't get mad, Dre, I know Georgia Tech should not be running it, but that works if you're a lesser school, and then always have the talent where you can kind of plug in some of those smaller guys and those athletes and let them run that triple option. A lot of teams aren't prepared to play that. I'm going to go with Georgia Southern.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Georgia Tech because we didn't say anything about the new coach. I'm so excited we got Jeff Collins from Temple. We're finally going to get a tight end. I love the fact that we already got some commitments, man, and it's going to be fantastic, man. So just a little side note, man. Jeff Collins, new coach. Mm-hmm. Paul Johnson's retiring. We're going to get rid of the – we're going to finally have an NFL-style offense and an NFL-style defense, man. So, you know, again, I'm not saying we're going to come and take over the world next season, but at least – we're setting the program up where it should be, man. So I'm excited about having Jeff Collins back. He was actually at Alabama, Florida, Mississippi State with Dunn Mullins and, you know, Nick Saban. So, man, it's good, man. So we're excited, man. Finally, real head coach, man. I'm not like that. I mean, Paul Johnson was good, but just totally different from the triple option. We're going to say goodbye to that, man, and get some real NFL recruits.
Right.
Anyway, I digress. Woo! I'm excited. The New Orleans Bowl, that's for you, Rob. We got Middle Tennessee at Appalachian State, Rob. Stay tuned, Curtis, Gary, everyone.
I like Appalachian State in this game. I mean, Appalachian State, they're competitive. And all the games they play against anybody from the Power 5 conference, and they dominate their conference year in and year out. So, I mean, it's hard for me to pick against them. And a high-powered offense, Appalachian State.
Absolutely, me too.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go ahead and go with Appalachian State.
App State, giant killers. Hey, let's wrap it up with the last bowl, the Boca Raton Bowl. That is definitely in Florida. You got UAB, Rob, versus North Illinois. I didn't know the freaking I gotta check that.
No.
You didn't miss it. It's the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl. Raton Bowl. Man, it's very important that we name the sponsors and stuff. And this Cherry Bundy is some kind of cherry tart juice. Just so everybody listening will know.
Come on, man.
I had to look it up, man. I'm sorry. I'm like, what's Sam Hill and Cherry Bundy?
Yeah. Wow.
So,
they are wild.
I can't right now.
Yeah. So Cherry Bundy, CHERIBUNDI. I had to look that up. Like, okay, who are these people? But anyway, it's like some kind of cherry tart juice. I'm like, okay. But UAB is in Northern Illinois.
What's that?
I said, they must be selling a whole lot of ties. They got their own bowl. They're going to do something, right?
So I'll get some cherry pies, whatever. I'm down. Oh, man.
Well,
oh, gosh.
I don't, you know, UAB actually had a really good team this year. They played a couple of Power 5 teams really tough. They played Texas A&M tough as well. And but Northern Illinois is a team that's kind of been there historically, you know, competing in that MAC conference. And I'm going to go with them just for, you know, from an experience standpoint. Like I said, they're usually a team that's always in that 9-3, 10-2 kind of area. I'm going to go with Northern Illinois.
Hey, man, I'm going to go with UAB for what you just talked about. They were playing those dudes tough. And they're recruiting, you know, to a lesser degree, more of the three-star talents that don't go to, you know, the Auburns and the Alabamas. But they got some Southern boys out there playing for UAB, and they're playing them in Florida. I don't know what the temperature's going to be, but it's probably going to be warm down there in Boca Raton. And, yeah, it's going to be all well and good to be out on the beach in North Illinois, so you have to go out there and play against that speed and that heat, and you'll be looking around like, wait, what? Huh? Yeah, I'm going to go with UAB.
Let me tell you something. Northern Illinois,
yeah,
when he builds up on his cherry Bundy juice, and he ain't going to
That Boca Raton is going to be the difference. And Northern Illinois is running into a buzzsaw by coming down in that humidity. I think ULB gets it done.
ULB?
I agree.
UAB.
Shut up, UAB.
Okay, I got you. I'm here. Hey, guys. Again, I'm giving you guys a hard time. It's been fun, man. I'm getting a little punch drunk here. It's been a long night, man, from the cherry, whatever. Hey, but again, it's been fantastic. Hey, Rob, let's go ahead and set
the
up
the cherry
bunny
juice.
The next show
juice,
here.
Man.
Here we go.
Yeah, I'm not ordering something.
There it is.
Maybe we'll see if they'll sponsor our show.
Nice.
Right? I'm going to gain 20 pounds. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we like to have a little fun while we talk sports. We thank you all again for tuning in yet to another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. That'll be it for us for tonight. We'll be back on the air on next Tuesday, December the 18th, 1 week away from Christmas. So we'll obviously be getting you ready for NFL matchups and recapping this coming week. We're going to be getting closer to some of the bigger bowl matchups and, you know, start talking about the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl. So we'll start getting to some of the bigger matchups on next week and start talking a little college football. Obviously, we're getting closer to the heart of the NBA season here as well and college basketball as well. So we'll be squeezing a little bit of that in there too as well. Thank you all again for tuning in. We look forward to hearing from you guys on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Yeah, and again, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Nas. I mean, he had some excellent points tonight. I appreciate you for calling in and bringing some of the other pieces to the puzzle that you brought tonight. So appreciate you, man. Please call in again. Thank you, everybody, for downloading the show and listening to us. I had a great time talking sports with you fellas tonight. Hope it translates to everybody to download the podcast, and we will holler at you next week.
Listen here, Marvin Lewis is like Twinkies and cockroaches. At the end, when the nuclear war happens, those three things will always survive. I won't believe it until I see them give it. That's where I am with him. That he can survive a nuclear war.
Wow.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I think
I might enjoy that. But I cut that when I was watching the Heisman on Saturday.
we're gonna play that show about JQ's feelings about Marvin Lewis every time he's still the coach. I had to put that in there, man. So anyway,
you see that one coming, huh?
Oh, that's good, man. Keep them coming. Hey, again, like you said, West Coast, we appreciate you guys, Gary Curtis. I don't know if Curtis is still on too, but we appreciate you guys always talking. I know it's a lot.
Yeah,
I'm still on.
Gary had to go back.
Okay, Gary had to go back. Okay, cool. Yeah, I got you. So again, Curtis, we appreciate you. Like I said, always giving your thoughts and keep it going too, man. Again, we appreciate you from the Western perspective. I will be there next Friday, so we're flying to San Francisco. Then we go to go to Sacramento. We got family out there, so we'll be in the West Coast, man. So we'll be in the same time zone. So we should do a quick shout out as well, man. But again, we appreciate you guys. I'm still tripping out about that, man. I'm gonna play my rant later on, JQ. I gotta figure out when I throw that in there, man. But it should be fun, man. So we'll keep
it
going.
So you got to play it next week.
Yeah, I'll play. I'll be the week after. I'll be there the week. Well, that, like I said, we'll have the show Tuesday. I'll be in Atlanta. I'm flying out Friday the 21st, man. So we'll get a chance to at least we'll see if we can fit the show in there. But again, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to share the field of battle with you. Please be safe during the week. I'm sure we're going to be texting each other, as always, what's been happening, too. So keep it going until the next show, guys. We'll talk to you later, okay? Good. Shout out to everybody for calling in. Hope he calls it in. Sign down with the podcast. We'll talk to you guys soon.